Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Anybody here like to pull weeds?
No.
I will tell you that I hate pulling weeds. Yes, so this child agrees with me. Maren, thank you very much. I would say when there were weeds in my garden, it's not my job. Oh, really? Then whose job is it? You look around. Carl would be like, well, it's not my job to go out there and pull weeds. This was when we were living in New York. The man is now the weed puller in the family. But back in New York, it was my job to go out there. We had this like strip of soil that separated our front lawn from our neighbor's front lawn, and it had all soil in there, and it had a lot of other stuff in there, too, that should have been healthy plants. And I just sort of chose to ignore what was going on over that side of the house. And then one day, I don't know what the heck happened, but it overcame me that I should actually get out there and start to tackle this. Well, it wasn't a pretty sight. I started off well-intentioned, pulling what I believed was weeds, pulling. And then I saw how they were getting all entangled up. And so next thing I know, I was pulling up some other stuff, the good stuff. And then after a while, I got so sick and tired of looking at what was good and what wasn't, I just ripped the whole thing out. Not exactly the smartest of things to have done. Carl came home and said, "What the heck happened over there?" Not a pretty sight. My neighbor across the street, actually, when we moved down to Florida, she couldn't handle weeds on her lawn. And so she would go out there every Saturday and Sunday morning, sit on the grass and pull the weeds. And I went over to her one time and I said, "So tell me about this weed pulling thing that's going on." Because she was very obsessed about pulling her weeds. And she said, "This is the way I de-stress." I said, "Oh, okay. I see there are weeds there." And she looked over and she started to laugh and she said, "I would say there's more grass that has been pulled up than weeds." And there were big patches all over her lawn. You see, by pulling and violently ripping out the weeds, she was also pulling and violently ripping out the good grass. Just as I got tired of trying to detangle and separate the weeds from the flowers that were in there and the shrubs that I had, that I wound up just pulling it all out, everything. It was like a pulling frenzy. I was like a lunatic. And then I went out and I replanted. And guess what happened the following year? Weeds came back up again. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens. You can replant all you want, but those weeds are going to come back again. And that's what we hear about in today's gospel lesson. We hear about the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, T-A-R-E-S, or darnel. It's a particular type of wheat. It's a false wheat. Now remember, we're in parables, and remember, parables are comparisons, and the comparison here is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. And parables are meant to be exaggerations. They're not meant to have a perfect, remember, one-for-one match about things. They're meant to be mysterious. They're meant to make us think. What would the kingdom of heaven look like? Well, there's a field out there. There's good wheat that bears fruit, and there's false wheat that bears no fruit. And Jesus calls that like the evil, or let's talk about it being as sin. And guess what? You can't tell the difference. Here, you can tell the difference. Can you tell the difference, farmers out there? Can you tell? No, like we can't even tell the difference, right? But there is a difference in the two. But when they're growing side by side together, you cannot tell the difference. It is only at the point that the fruit bearing starts that the wheat part starts to droop over, and the false wheat stands straight up. It's only at the point of harvest. But prior to that, it looks identical. So the servants come, and the servants say, "Hey, There's wheat going on in the field. We want to get rid of it. So they want to go out and they want to categorize what's good and what's bad. What stays, what goes. What's in and what's out. They want to do the judging. And you know something? If we are really honest about it, we do the same exact thing. But we do it with people. We like to judge what's good and what's evil, what's in and what's out. Now, we're going to take a look at some just photos of people. And in your mind, you're probably going to make a categorization. Good or sinful? Good or bad? Good or evil? If you had to make the decision about whether or not this person was in or out of God's kingdom, and by that, you know, we tend to say who goes up and who goes down, what might your categorizations be? Don't call them out, just silently in your mind. How would you classify if you were asked to judge, which you're not, by the way? Did you have thoughts run past in and out of your mind at all? Yeah. How do we classify good and evil on a broad basis, just based on a picture? Is it an American defending his land against outsiders who want to come and claim it as their own and force their own religious beliefs on customs of that existing Native American population? Is it refugees being handcuffed for attempting to cross a border to escape the ravages of war in their own country? Is it a mobster who was responsible for the 1978 Lufthansa heist in New York's JFK airport, as portrayed by Robert De Niro in Goodfellas? He was in there in those pictures. Is it two photos of same-gender married couples? Did we categorize correctly? Who knows? You can't tell just by looking. It's underneath the soil that you still can't even tell because the roots are so deeply intertwined. The roots are so intertwined between what is considered good and what is considered evil that there is no way of being able to tell. And we certainly can't tell on the surface. And that's how it is for each of us, because in each of us, we know that we are both and. We are both saint and we are both sinner. 100% of each in each one of us. And you know something? When I got into that frenzy of what stays and what goes, I wound up pulling up everything, because I couldn't decide. I couldn't detangle. I couldn't unattach. And it was hard to separate. So I wound up tossing out both, destroying both. And you know something? If God left it to us, because I don't think I'm unique, to do the pulling of the weeds, we would probably do the same exact thing. And we have a God who will not let that happen. Jesus says, weed pulling is not your job. Your job is to love each other. Your job is not to categorize. Your job is not to say who's in and who's out. Your job is to love and to share the good news. And Jesus acknowledges, yes, sin exists in this world, but it is not for you to separate. It is not for you to remove, because in doing so, you will uproot and you will kill the good. And that just cannot happen. When the harvest happens, when the judgment day comes, the angels will do the separation of the good and evil in each person, in each of us. All the causes of sin that are in us is what will be cleansed. The causes of sin, the greed, the jealousy, the pride, the anger, the fear, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, all of that will be burned. And as we go through our life and we do self-examination and we come to realize those aspects of who we are, boy, do you not feel that burning when it happens? Because it does hurt. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So that all of that can be removed and the good can remain. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control in each of us. Our sin and the causes of our sin will be burned away. So the fruits of the Holy Spirit will shine through and will flourish. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The harvesting of the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what's promised to us. So what do we do in the meantime? Jesus acknowledges that there is sin in the world. But Jesus also tells us it's not for you to do the judging. So what do? We continue to share the good news with each other. We continue to self-examine ourselves. And let the burning in us happen as we acknowledge and confront our sinfulness. We continue to live as if the kingdom is fully here now and live into the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit that we have been given. And we continue to love God and love each other without judging who's in and who's out. And you know something? Pulling weeds, it's not our job. And I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled. Pulling weeds, it's not my job. And thank goodness, because I don't like to weed. Join me in not weeding anymore. Amen.